Let's turn in God's Word to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, we'll be reading in chapter 5. And Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And before we read the Word of God, let's pray to the Lord. Our Father, how blessed You've provided each thing for us, each need, in all of our lives, physically, in which we do pray that You would grant us hearts that desire to respond with giving, even and giving to You and the offering. My Father, so we also know that You have provided every need spiritually, for You are the great provider for our hearts in Jesus Christ and Your Word and by the Spirit. And we pray that You would use this time, that You would move us also to give of ourselves, our lives, for the sake of the Gospel as we follow after Jesus and seeking first Your kingdom, His kingdom, and His righteousness. And we ask that You would turn our hearts to You for this purpose, that we would go out from here and live godly lives for Christ, calling sinners to repentance as we seek to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 6. These are God's words. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Those are God's words. The Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount that we're reading here, they've begun this way, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And the reality is that those three, the first three Beatitudes, verses 3 through 5, that there we have been made to look into ourselves, to examine ourselves, our sinfulness before our God and our Savior. And so by God's grace and by His Spirit, discovering the truth and reality of ourselves, as we examine ourselves, we become poor in spirit. We mourn over our sins. And we are humbled before, or become meek before, the Lord who is holy. Such who do so, who are poor in spirit, who mourn, and are meek, are blessed. These are the people who are blessed, happy, fulfilled, forever. Having then been driven into ourselves and to examine ourselves, and seeing our need to be driven now out of ourselves, and away from ourselves, because there is no hope that we can find in us, in ourselves. There are those Christians then who, believing, are driven into themselves but have great difficulty being driven out of themselves. These are those who are often downcast in soul and how wretched they are, and they have a glimmer of hope. Or they have just a glimmer of hope, and they struggle in their soul greatly. And then there are those Christians who hardly consider their sin. They do not mourn over it. Most of us probably fit into this category. Hardly mourning over our sin, and so often are then driven to pride instead of meekness in Christ. And therefore it's harder to turn to Christ. We'd rather turn to ourselves. because we really haven't examined ourselves. And yet both are needed. Both are needed. Verses 3 through 5, examining, considering yourself and your sin, and seeing how wretched you really are, and then turning to Christ, and now turning outside of yourselves to Christ and to others. That's where we are when we come to verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You see, beloved, God's working in you by His Holy Spirit to convince you of the atrocities of your sin and the condemnation that your sin brings upon you for all eternity apart from Christ. That was not to drive you to yourselves. It's not to drive you to the world and the things of the world. It is to drive you to Jesus Christ alone from your sin. Because it's Jesus Christ alone who can save you from your sin, who can deliver you from your sin and the condemnation of your sin. The Lord working in your hearts to give you the knowledge of yourself is not intended to make you dwell in yourself, but to decrease that. The heart of, you must increase, but I must decrease. If there is nothing in ourselves that can save us from ourselves, nothing in this world that will save us, there's nothing except one left to deliver us from ourselves and our sin. There's only one name under heaven by which we must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. He's the only one who meets our needs. The needs of being saved. That is, being delivered. We're in sin and condemnation on the way to hell and destruction and punishment forever and ever. And there's only one who can save us from this. Jesus. It is alone Jesus who meets the needs of this world in which we live. Only He can deliver the world from their many sins. And you know this. And this verse and the next verse. The next verse is, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And these two Beatitudes, or pronouncements of blessings, these two Beatitudes underline the fact that while we must discover the depths of our need, God does not intend that our lives should be paralyzed by our sense of need. He intends in verse 6 that we should be turned away from ourselves to Him and His righteousness. And finding His righteousness, we should then be turned in verse 7 towards others in their need for mercy. For the Lord grants His righteousness in His grace and mercy, and therefore we should show mercy towards those in need of it. There is in each Christian a change from a heart dominated and absorbed with itself to a heart that is dominated by God's grace and that reaches out to God and others. And some of you are still very much dominated by and absorbed with yourself. And so examine yourself today to find out if that is you. Where is your true care for others? Where is your true sense of need of Christ? But the care of others and being merciful unto Him, Lord willing, we'll seek more about that next Lord's Day. But today we're looking at verse 6, that reaching out, seeking after God, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Seeking God. That alone is a fruit of the Holy Spirit and God's grace enabling you to do it. Only by the Lord who's changed your will, that's your desires, your heart. Only Him who has changed your desires, your selfish desires, and worldly desires to desire something good and righteous, Jesus Christ. Again, it says, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirsting. Very foundational, physical feelings, desires that we have, each one of us. A physical desire for food, for drink. And today it's very easy to go to the grocery store, we stock up on food, put it in the fridge. When we have that feeling of hunger, we go immediately to the fridge, we get food. And we're satisfied for a time. When we want water, we either buy bottled water or we go to the faucet, pour it in a cup, and we drink. Or we drink it out of a hose. I don't know. It's really easy to get water. Really easy to get food for us. And yet still, what do we feel every day? Hunger and thirst. All the more in those in Jesus' day who struggled more to get water. They had to go to a well. And if you were in a city, you had to go to the city well. You had to wait your turn. You had to go down, carry the big pitchers back to your home. Probably had to do that quite a few times during the day. Or once you carried multiple pitchers and then you'd come back and get some more. You had to work for it. Same with food. They had to work for food. And so there was a greater intensity of hunger and thirst. Although we can still grasp it today very easily, can't we? Every time, every day, there is in us hunger for food. Unless we're gluttons or drunkards. But this is why Jesus uses this language, because everybody understands what this means. There's a longing. You have to have food. Have to have drink. In a summer day, you're outside working, you're hot, you haven't had drink, water, and you know with the very core of your being, I have to have water now. There's an intensity to that. That you know, if your hunger and your thirst are not satisfied, you know, it's in the back of your mind and your heart. You know with every being, part of your being, you will die if you do not eat or drink. Everyone knows this, probably don't think of it very often because we're so blessed with food and drink. But that's in all of us, we know. Even in babies, crying until they are fed. And so he uses these words to depict the intensity of the Christian that they must have in longing for the righteousness of God. Now, why must we seek and long after with such intensity? Why must we seek and long with such intensity after the righteousness of God? Verse 10. Skip down to verse 10. We learn Christians are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For righteousness, Christians are persecuted. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Righteousness. This is the righteousness we're seeking after, and for that, we are persecuted. But blessed. Verse 20, chapter 5, verse 20, because Christians must have a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. To live forever, we have to have a righteousness that exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees. Right, it says, verse 20, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's hard, If you think about it, how is that possible for us to have a greater righteousness than the Pharisees who knew God's Word backwards and forwards and did well at keeping His law, at least on the surface? Chapter 6, verse 1. We are to do acts of righteousness, not to be seen by men, but Christians perform acts of righteousness for others. Chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Providing for those in need. Performing righteous acts. But moreover, the Christian seeks God's kingdom and His righteousness. We've already prayed that. And in the assurance that everything they need will then be supplied for them. If they seek after His kingdom and His righteousness, everything will be supplied them. Chapter 6, verse 33. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now there is a hunger and thirst for righteousness. We just sang in Psalm 24 about this. We sang, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." And so we learn there in Psalm 24, righteousness. Righteousness comes from the Lord alone. It does not come from you. It does not come from me. It doesn't come by your works or your actions or your thoughts. It comes from the Lord. And righteousness from the God of His salvation. And so there's an examination of yourself. And if you're honest, you will find a wretched sinner deserving the eternal punishments forever and ever. But that salvation comes from the God of all righteousness. And that righteousness is what we need to be saved. We must be found in Christ Jesus, not having our own righteousness, which is of menstrual rags, right? In Isaiah. But that righteousness which is through faith of Christ. That righteousness which is of God by faith. We also know from Isaiah 32, it says in Isaiah 32, "Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and a fruitful field be counted up for a forest, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever." The fruit of righteousness will be peace. And this is explained later in Isaiah 45. And it says there, "Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, that ye that are escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just, righteous God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." And so then, what is it to hunger and thirst after righteousness? It means, first of all, to long for that right relationship with Him who is the true God and Savior, as we just read in Isaiah 45. To long for that right relationship with Him who is our God and Savior, who is righteousness. He is, our God and Savior is righteousness. If this righteousness is God and is from God, because He is righteousness in Himself, then we cannot reach out and grab it. Right? It's nothing that we can do. It is alone found in Jesus Christ Himself, the Savior, provided in Jesus. This is why Jesus was sent to the earth, to be our perfect righteousness. We've sinned, but God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to become sin for us, so that in Him, through faith, we might receive righteousness. That's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. It says, "For He hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him," in Jesus. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're a sinner, this is the good news found in Jesus alone. That we lack righteousness and we have gained only death for ourselves and condemnation or guilt. And God freely offers to us righteousness in Jesus Christ. This is what Paul can exclaim then in Romans 1. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein," in the gospel, "for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just," the righteous, "shall live by faith." But what if today you do not believe? If you do not seek after Christ and His righteousness? That passage continues. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And yet we can't believe on Christ simply that He is God and the Messiah for righteousness. Jesus Christ, we must profess and confess that as sinners, we are condemned again to hell forever for the guilt of our sins, the condemnation of our sins, and so we must desire and believe with all of our heart that He must be our Savior who saves us from our sins and grants us righteousness. He must be our Savior. Is He your Savior? Who saves you from your sins and the guilt of your sins, from condemnation that is towards you by the righteousness and justice of our God. Jesus is the Savior. He's the Savior who saves us from bondage and power. The bondage and power of sin. Not only through Jesus do we have a Savior's forgiveness and cleansing of our sins, but He works in us to make us live in right relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, by reconciling us to God through His life and death, through the gospel. And that reconciliation comes by His righteousness alone in our justification. Having been declared righteous, made righteous in the sight of God, but not by our own righteousness, which we have done, but by Christ's righteousness, which He has credited to us by faith alone. Romans 5, it says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. God's grace reigns in our lives through righteousness. But it's not only a gift. It's a gift of God's grace. It is our reigning King in Jesus Christ. That's why grace reigns. It says in the Scriptures, because Christ reigns as mediatorial King. Right? We just read Romans 5. Even so might grace reign through righteousness. How does grace reign? But through Christ who reigns as our King. And so grace reigns through righteousness, never apart from righteousness. If there is any grace to you, it is only because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And Christ is the righteous one who reigns on high. And it's only through Christ that the whole man, the whole person, is renewed in righteousness to become new creations, right? The new creature in Christ. Remember that language. Having been born again to a living hope by the righteousness of Jesus, the old is past. And this is first who you must hunger and thirst after. You're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Well, there is, in hungering and thirsting after righteousness, there is a hungering after someone. And that is in Jesus Christ. After Him. But then, we have to ask the question, well, who are you hungering and thirsting after? There are many things in this world that you hunger and thirst after. Some of you constantly are hungering or thirsting after food and drink. That's called gluttony. Some of you are hungering and thirsting after money or things, toys, experiences. That's worldliness. You're hungering and thirsting after worldliness, which is, of course, anything that's not hungering and thirsting after Jesus and His righteousness is idolatry. Are you hungering and thirsting by living a righteous life like Jesus Christ, to follow and to walk as He walked? Right, He said, follow Me, that we must therefore follow Him. If there is in you, Christian, no right living, no righteous living, no walking after Christ in that right relationship with God, it's false. You have no righteousness and you need to come to Christ and believe on Him for salvation. Well, what is not true about the gospel? That which is false concerning Jesus Christ is that He saves you and then, this is false, He then leaves you as you were instead of actually saving you from sin. And you go on living just as you always have been. If that's you, then you have not been saved, because that's a false gospel, right? It is false that Jesus Christ saves you and then just leaves you alone and doesn't save you from sin. He saves you from sin. And therefore, there is a continual progressive sanctification, a continual turning from sin by the Christian who have been saved. All Christians are saved. And only those who are saved are Christians, and they, those sins are put off, put to death, mortified, and righteousness is put on more and more as we go along in this life until we are made perfectly righteous at the end. The truth is, when we are justified in Christ by faith in Him, He actually saves us from our sins. Our perceptions will be new, right? We're new creatures. Our perceptions will be new. Our principles will be new. Our practice or living will be new. Our plans will be new. Our prospects or things we long to do in the future, want in the future, those are new. Our privileges are new, and our portion, what we have, is new. That is, if you're truly in Christ, truly seeking after righteousness found alone in Jesus, then you will experience in this world a progression in holiness, and in the world to come, everlasting blessing. Perfect righteousness in the world to come. Those who profess faith in Jesus Christ, but whose lives do not show forth that righteousness in their lives, are not inferior Christians. They're no Christians at all. Because Jesus doesn't just save you, He saves you from your sin. And the bondage or slavery to that sin. All of the sins. That Satan is no longer your father. And that means that you will begin living righteously. Not perfectly, but there will be righteousness. And if that is you, that you profess Jesus Christ and yet you show forth and you see in your life no righteousness, no actual practical righteousness in your life at all, then come unto Christ and believe on Him to be saved from your sins and be made new and righteous in Him. But more than that, then, You are to be seeking after right relationships. Righteous relationships between ourselves first and God. A right relationship with God. The Lord is obviously perfect in His end of the bargain or the end of the relationship. He's perfect with us. But what about you? Are you perfect in your righteousness towards and your relationship therefore to God? Are you, as the Lord calls us to, unceasing in prayer? Do you pray at all? Are you unceasing in prayer? Do you meditate upon His law day and night? Are you seeking to follow Jesus and walk in righteousness? Because if you are not, that is hurting that relationship with the Lord. If you're truly a Christian, you're not doing those things, then that's truly hurting your relationship with the Lord. And you ought to examine yourself and really examine, am I really in Christ if I'm not praying at all? If I'm not crying out to the Father, you're showing you're not. Am I really meditating upon His law, His Word, all throughout the day? Do I do it at all? Am I really seeking to follow Jesus? Or am I just kind of saying I follow Jesus and I come to worship sometimes and that's me following Jesus? That's not following Jesus. Are you walking in righteousness? But if you are a Christian, you see little aspects of those things, little amounts of those. You do pray, you struggle in it. You do meditate on God's Word, you think upon it, but you do it very little. You do seek to follow Jesus, but you're struggling. And walking in righteousness is very difficult. And yet, there's some glimmers of righteousness here and there. If that is you, that does not affect your standing with God. You are His child. You're a citizen of His kingdom, as we learned in Sabbath school this morning. But it does affect our closeness with Him. Our communion with Him. Our being blessed by Him. Our relationship with Him. And so we must be those who pursue right relationship with the Lord and Jesus Christ by seeking communion and fellowship with Jesus all the time. Unceasing. And that, of course, then goes to a right relationship and righteous relationships with others. If you're hungry and thirsting after righteousness, that will lead to righteousness and right living with others, with those in the church and those outside the church, to follow Jesus in your life and those relationships. And you're called again to turn unto Christ. So you can say with Paul in 2 Timothy 4, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. And so you ought to seek a right relationship with others, that you would have the crown of righteousness, but so too they would have it and be blessed themselves. In our pursuit and following after Jesus Christ alone, you are not so much to be longing, hungering and thirsting, longing or seeking after being rich or wealthy or learned, but rather holy. To be holy, righteous. Psalm 17 says, Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. The world has their treasures, their things, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Now, what is it then to hunger and thirst after this righteousness that alone is found in God and Jesus Christ for your salvation? If you want to be truly happy and blessed, if you would like to know the true joy as a Christian, here is the prescription. Blessed, truly happy are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not hunger and thirsting after happiness. Notice that. It does not say here, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after blessing. And using the word happy because we understand that perhaps a little bit more. It does not say happy are they who do hunger and thirst after happiness. Do not go on seeking thrills, excitement. Seek righteousness. Turn to yourself, to your feelings, and say, I have no time to worry about feelings. I'm interested in something else. I want to be happy, but still more, I want to be righteous. More than happy, I want to be righteous. I want to be holy. I want to be like my Lord and my Savior. I want to live in this world as He lived. I want to walk through it as He walked through it. You're in this world, John says, even as He was. Follow Him. Set up your whole aim upon righteousness. Right? If you had one thing to look at and set as your aim, look at Jesus. Look at His righteousness. Focus on that. Set your whole aim upon righteousness and holiness. And as certainly as you do, you will be blessed. You will be happy. You'll be filled. You'll get the happiness you long for. Seek for happiness and you will never find it. Seek righteousness and you'll discover you're already happy. It will be there without your knowing it, without your seeking it. And do you want to know what supreme joy? You want to experience happiness that is beyond comprehension? There's only one thing to do. Really seek Jesus. Seek to commune with Him. Seek to be with Him. Seek to hear His Word. Seek to be blessed under the ministry of His Word. Really seek Him Himself. And turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for Him. If you find that your feelings are depressed, as we like to say, or downcast, do not sit down, one theologian said. Do not sit down and commiserate with yourself or sorrow in your sorrows. Do not try to work something up. But this is the essence of it. Go directly to Jehovah and seek His face. As the little child who is miserably and unhappy because someone else has taken or broken his toy, and they run to their father or mother. Don't just wallow in your sorrow. Wallow in your sorrow by running to Jesus. And so if you're afflicted by this condition, there's only one thing to do. If you're not happy, that is to go to Jesus. If you seek the Lord Jesus Christ and find Him there, in Him there's no need to worry about your happiness. No need to worry about joy. He is your joy. He is your happiness. He's your Savior. He's your peace. He is life. He's everything that you need. And so avoid the worldly joys and the temptations of Satan to give feelings to your feelings this great prominence in your heart. Put at the heart the only one who has a right to be there. The King of glory. The King of glory. and who is righteous, the King of righteousness, who so loved you that he went to the cross and bore the punishment and the shame of your sins and died for you. Seek him, seek his face, and all of the other things shall be added unto you. That's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And the promise, those who do, they shall be filled. If you hunger and thirst, you'll be filled, you'll be satisfied. Christ will fill you. Right? That's Isaiah 55. We hear it sometimes before the Lord's Supper. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." You hunger and thirst after righteousness in Christ, and He will fill you with His righteousness. You'll be filled and satisfied. That's His promise. And truly our God can fill a soul. Truly He can satisfy it. Only His grace and favor are adequate to satisfy anyone's soul. A soul. A grace. By a grace that reigns in Christ. And so, for God's people, it's guaranteed. He can satisfy your soul. Where we are empty of ourselves, which we've learned in verses 3 through 5, He provides from the infinite and eternal storehouses of His righteousness, infinite and eternal righteousness for His children. Today our present souls feel pained. And yet they will, at the Lord's perfect timing, be filled with such an exceeding abundance for as to satisfy all those who hunger and thirst after righteousness today. Certainly blessing, the blessing of heaven will fill the soul. For there our righteousness will be complete. And there we have a right to have a right and righteous relationship, perfect with God and each other and Christ forever. So everyone, think of this blessing. Every time you hunger or thirst after food and drink, and you have that longing, then begin to meditate on how much you need your Savior Jesus. That's why we do fast. That's why we fast at times. So that we would meditate upon how much we need our Savior. And then actually seek His face. Don't just say, "Oh yeah, I really need Jesus." Actually seek Him. Seek His face. Seek for His righteousness by faith. Seek Christ and His righteousness. And every time, by God's grace and blessing, we are filled then upon eating the food and drinking the drink. Make it an occasion for you to spur you on in your heart to hunger and thirst after righteousness, because there is the promise shown forth that you will be satisfied, that you'll be filled only in Christ. It says here, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We thank You for the good news of the Gospel. We're thankful for Christ's perfect righteous life, perfect righteous death, and His resurrection unto life to secure our justification. And we are now citizens of Your kingdom. We pray that we would follow after You. And as members of the family of God, we would pray unto You. And continue to seek Your face, even the face of our Father and our King. the King of glory and the King of righteousness. Give us that hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ, your Son, that we only know when we fast. That kind of hungering and thirsting. Give us a greater hungering and thirsting after Christ, that we would know that such righteousness brings such fruit that we would be incomprehensibly satisfied and filled. Bless your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.